The mellifluous tones of one Ima Sumac. And I hate to go over Ima Sumac with this, but Bill, I wanna check your memory from when we were younger.
Sure, go ahead.
Lizzie Borden took an axe.
Gave her mother 40 whacks when she saw what she had done. Gave her father 41.
There you go. And why are we
That's
singing?
Number one on the hit parade this week, Wendy.
Thank you, Casey Kasem.
Three spots from number five.
Lizzie Borden is featured among many others and plenty others in this awesome new book called The Crime Book. And on the line with us right now, Los Angeles Times bestselling author Kathy Scott. How are you, Kathy?
Hey, Kathy.
I'm good, thank you. Happy to be with you guys.
Kathy, I'm sure you thought about this when you wrote the book, but even though this is dark, dark, dark territory, everybody kind of likes hearing about it, don't they?
They do, yeah. I was a consultant on the book, and I'm one of the writers. So I don't want to take full credit, but thank you. It's dark, I mean, especially when it comes to, you know, kids. But some of them, though, are not victimless crimes, but no, against insurance companies and jewelry stores and things like that, you know, notorious jewel thieves and, you know, Frank Abagnale, the big Czech forger when he was a teenager and faking careers like a pilot, you know, flying planes when he was a teenager, you know, and going around the country stealing money. But we do, of course, have the dark ones. There's a Neanderthal man that is the first known murder. Happened 430,000 years ago, and he was bludgeoned to death. That's in there, too.
All right. Now, who are the other authors? Because I feel bad now. We should give credit where credit is due.
Lee Miller out of Toronto, Canada. Rebecca Morrison and Shauna Hogan.
This book is very fascinating to me, and of course, there are major cases that we know about and a lot of contemporary ones, like, of course, Charles Manson, O.J. Simpson. I mentioned Lizzie Borden was, who played Lizzie Borden?
Elizabeth Montgomery.
Yeah. That's right. But so we know about these, but what are some other cases that might really surprise us that we may not be aware of?
Well, there's the Eiffel Tower heist. I mean, someone sold the Eiffel Tower out from, you know, under the country, not once but twice, and illegally, of course, and took somebody. It's like a real estate scam, only it happened to be with the Eiffel Tower. We delve into the Ponzi schemes, take a close look at some street gangs, but as well as the mafia in Japan, China, and of course the Sicilian mafia that ended up in America, and those people are glorified, you know, as much, especially, you know, mafia with the Sopranos on TV and that sort of thing,
and all the Godfather movies.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And then Art of the Con, you know, I mentioned Frank Abagnale, but there's Doris Payne, the 86-year-old jewel thief who took a 10.5 carat diamond from Cartier and Monte Carlo and got caught and then escaped.
Did she put it in her purse like my grandma used to do with the pats of butter and crackers at restaurants?
No, she usually wore it out. She wore it on her hand, typically. Yeah, she just wore it right outside the store, and nobody thought anything of it. And she, you know, she did that for 60 years, and she's 86 years old now. So that story's in there, and kind of go into details that haven't been in newspaper accounts. Because when she sneezes, you know, it blows up, and she's written about. But she got herself arrested not too long ago. But there are I mean, the JFK murder is looked at, and you know, and then the Ted Bundy and the famous sort of serial killer cases, which are dark, but they're also interesting. You know, people are fascinated by them, you know, sort of a voyeuristic look at crimes. But I think there's something in the book for everyone. One thing you get from the book, and you guys have seen it, is kind of a map into the different crimes and with the graphics and all the sidebars that give you just a real perspective on a variety of crimes, you know, from the police angle, from the victim's angle, from the criminal's angle.
See, Kathy, that's why we here in the Midwest, especially Chicago, have a hard time with this book, the crime book, because we really haven't had much by way of crime here in Chicago.
Oh, of course you haven't. Yeah, home of the mafia.
Yeah. So why yeah, was Chicago
politicians? Who
yeah, we had
corrupt.
Problem with the politicians a little bit. Why are we such a hotbed for all things crime? What's going on in Chicago?
We don't have an ocean.
Is that what
we
it is?
We have nothing to do.
We need an ocean.
Good food, but no swimming.
Well, hey, that explains Vegas. They're landlocked too.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, you do have you've got water in Chicago. Is that a river?
There's a little lake. Lake
I'm terrible at geography.
That's all right.
Yeah, they're landlocked, so it's because the mafia was out there too, of course. But I think big cities, and they're hotbeds for crime coming in and kind of taking over and corrupting a few politicians here and there.
Sure. Now, since you mentioned the mafia, work on this with me, because I'm a huge fan of all things mafia. In Italy, it's the Cosa Nostra, but in other parts of the world, in Asia, in Russia, you name it, they all have kind of similar crime syndicates. What is the difference? Is there any difference between these crime syndicates around the globe?
Well, I think so. The Chinese triad, the Japanese, in Japan, there's the Yamusa. They all typically, have the same start, sort of the same nexus, and it starts with a family, and that's what happened in Japan, and they're very, they infiltrated corporates, corporations,
yeah,
and kind of just strong-armed them and took money. And in China, it's the triad. It's mostly, the black market, for goods and that sort of thing. And of course, violence comes with all of them. But Japan, it's what. 102,000 strong is the membership of the organized crime there that actually operates in other parts of the world as well, including the U.S. With mafia in the U.S., it used to be they ran the scam and, at the casinos and ran the casinos. Now they're in different businesses, including some strip clubs, topless joints.
Yeah.
And they just, they're still around. They're just not operating the same businesses they used to. But I don't think they're around as much, They're and I think it's because police work and high tech and surveillance and everything else is making certain that they don't get up to the speed that they used to be up to.
Will there be pirates in this book?
Wendy asked that of every author we have on, Kathy. Yes. Every author we have on, Wendy asked that same question.
No, I don't.
No, but there are actually. I'd have to look it up. I'm not. Oh, my gosh. But there is a pirate story in there. And it should be in the index. You should see it in there. But it's because there were, crimes going on the ships, too, like crazy. So we do have a pirate story in there.
Page 18 and 19, Wendy.
Did you find it?
I looked it up. Page 18 and 19 has to do with piracy.
Yay.
Yay.
but you also have the, what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. But, I mean, it's across the board, everything you can think of,
And I this is just a question for you, but H.H. Holmes is not mentioned in this book, and that's, I guess, kind of our little local murder,
the devil
serial
in the
killer.
White City guy,
yeah.
Who they're digging up.
I know, because they don't think it's his body
right.
that was buried.
Yeah.
So, well, fascinating stuff. That's fascinating. They're doing DNA from the family or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, the family says that he pulled one last hoax, and they buried some other guy that he moved, I think, to somewhere, some island somewhere, that he didn't die when they thought he died. Who, in your opinion, was the greatest crime stopper of all time?
Crime stopper?
Yeah, who thwarted more crimes? Who stopped them, would you say was the best?
Well, I think the FBI.
Yeah.
I think the FBI has just done a, you know, I mean, depending on who, I mean, they had a crackdown on the mafia like crazy, but they're the ones who caught Frank Abagnale. But they're you know, they're so good at what they do. You know, I think and the police departments all operate independently. But, yeah, the thwarters were definitely the FBI. And I think today also you can count in Joe Citizen, because they're out there with their cameras.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Smartphones and you know, tattling on people, basically. And, you know, it's changing because those videos are now becoming part of documents and part of the crime files and eventually part of the history. I mean, you know, JFK's murder is in there, John F. Kennedy and Lincoln's murders. I mean, just think if we had smartphones back in 1963 when President Kennedy was shot.
Oh, yeah, really?
No conspiracy theories. Tupac and Biggie, they're in the book as well. I mean, there would have been, you know, 100 videos of those murders when they went down.
Absolutely. I just forget about some of the details, like the Lindbergh baby and the dingo ate
yeah.
my baby. I forget about all these things. So
yeah.
I have to tell you, it's an absurd obsession that a lot of us have, not just me, but I can't wait to sit down and check out each and every one of these, because they're each one's more fascinating than the next.
Thanks so much. A dingo ate my baby. I think she's off the hook, though, now, isn't she? Didn't they find new stuff to get her off the hook? But with the Lindbergh baby, I think, too, that, you know, forensics is so more defined today. We've got the Burke and Hare murders out of Scotland, the grave robbers. You know, we're selling cadavers to a medical school.
Ugh.
They were robbing graves, and then they decided to speed it up because it was too much work to dig them up. So they just started killing people.
Oh.
And selling, yeah.
Problem
and then they
solvers.
Were,
yeah.
Yeah. Enabled by the medical centers that would accept the bodies, questions, no questions asked. So that Burke and Hare is in there too, that out of Scotland. That's a fascinating, fascinating study.
Kathy, are you surprised? You just talked about through technology how far we've come over the last couple of decades, but there's still plenty of unsolved crimes. I always think about the JonBenet Ramsey case, and you say, boy, everything's there, and yet they never solved it, and that's just one. There's so many that go unsolved. Are you shocked by that?
No, I think it's the workload having to do with the police departments. You know, it's a lot, but I also think it has to do with the prominence of the family. And once you go down a certain path on a crime and you follow the evidence and if the crime scene's not handled properly, which in this case it doesn't appear it was, in the JonBenet Ramsey case, you can't reverse it. You've lost. You know, there's so much that you've lost. It's hard to reconstruct. You know, I have my own thoughts about it, and I think one day I think it's solvable, and I think we're close, and I think one day it'll all come out. But it's, you know, there have been a couple of really good stories done on it lately, and I think everybody's getting closer.
Sometimes it comes down to like a deathbed confession, like
right.
somebody who's involved or knows what happened.
They want to die with a clean conscience.
Yeah,
conscience.
So you have to wait for that almost sometimes.
Yeah, I think so. I think her father, you know, her mother's gone. Her father, you know, at some point will be. I think he's a fairly healthy man right now, but Or some of the investigators, you get new blood in there. It almost takes a new shift. You know, you get another generation of a district attorney because you've got some diehard police police in there who won't look at certain people. And once you get those guys out of there, they're retired, and some new guys come in with fresh eyes and no biases, then I think that crime will be solved.
All right, we have a listener who has called us at what number, Bill?
They called 312-235-2525.
And Harold is on the line. Harold, this is Kathy Scott. We're talking about this awesome new book. I hate to be so excited about it, but it's really good. The crime book, Big Ideas Simply Explained. Harold?
Those kind of books are really great. Hello, Bill. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi.
What I was going to talk about, Bill was talking about the crime stoppers or crime solvers. I'll talk about it in a moment, but before I do, I'll point out the one that fascinates me, and a lot of them do, but Sonny Bean from Scotland, since you had brought up Burke and Hare. It's sometimes said to be maybe a legend, sometimes said it's a true story, but supposed to have a family of, you know, a family of murderers that lived in a cave. They kind of just basically left the civilization and went somewhere to live in a cave and would just attack people on the highway, on the roads, about 600-700 years ago.
Really?
What's the last name?
Stop their carriage and swamp the carriage and then drag the people off and rob them. And
Harold, what's the last name of this?
Sonny Bean.
Yeah.
Tawny Bean?
Sonny Bean.
Tawny Bean. No, I've heard of similar ones in the Old West. I think that was a common thing. You know, some of the cowboys, that's how they operated. Some families would wait for a stagecoach to go by. Native Americans did it to they wanted them off their property. So when the stagecoaches would go through the Indian reservations. I think that's a kind of a common thing that happened, that travelers were attacked quite a bit. I mean, when you traveled, you know, for miles and miles with nothing around you, a lot of times they were targeted. So I'm not surprised. I haven't heard of Bonnie Bean. I haven't heard of that person, but I'm not surprised that there would be a family. And if it was a big crime and it went on for a long time, I'm surprised I haven't heard of it.
Hmm. Yeah, I haven't either.
Yeah, but I will look it up.
Harold, we got to run to news.
It's Sonny, actually, not Bonnie Bean, but it's Sonny Bean. But if you look up The Hills Have Eyes, that's what The Hills Have Eyes is.
Oh, it's based on that.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Harold, we got to run. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
Well, the book is great. Kathy Scott is one of four people who put this book together. It's called The Crime Book, Big Ideas Simply Explained. And, Kathy, if people want to know more or get the book itself, their best bet is to do what?
Go to Amazon. It's there, and then it's a bestseller right now on Amazon. And also they can go to dkbooks.com and look at that book and other books in the series.
Would it be ironic if people stole the book?
Ha, ha, ha. Now, don't give people ideas.
That would be wrong. Although it'd give you a sequel.
It's so weird seeing the DK book label because I have two teenage boys, and when they were born, there were a lot of books that, like, how to be a mom, what's happening, you know, in the womb at this time. So, wow. Kudos.
Now it's prime.
Yeah. Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
My pleasure. You
it's
too.
Kathy Scott, and again, the book is called The Crime Book.
It's really great, mm-hmm. And I'm sorry I want to sit here. Kevin was very excited. We got an extra copy because he couldn't wait to read it. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and do some news with Judy Pilak. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're on the stream here at WGN. Thanks,
Judy.
I want to comment. Someone texted us yesterday when were we talking about Scott Darling yesterday?
Getting traded. That was at the end of the show yesterday.
Because somebody said, because we kept going, he was great. Don't say was.
He still is great. He'll just be great for another team now. And you know what? From his standpoint, this could be a very good thing because he was our backup goalie here in Chicago. And I believe he will be a starter now. And what's wrong with that? That's good for him.
At least, you know, this whole Mike Glennon, our quarterback situation that's going on. Mm-hmm. I hate to be, you know, we're not your sports station right now, but it's intriguing to me that Mike Glennon, who we got to be what we thought was the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears, mm-hmm. was told to go to the draft when they got Mitch Trubisky. So who's going to start here?
Well, they believe Glennon will start. He is slated to start this upcoming season, and then Mitch Trubisky would start the season after that. But the Bears are fairly unpredictable.
Yeah.
So
and wait, doesn't Trubisky, he's only played 13 games, right?
In college.
Yeah, he might need to just watch some NFL football for real, and
right.
then he could jump in.
Yeah. And it's, quite honestly, it puts the pressure on Mike Glennon to do the best he can, because it's his job to lose.
Yeah, that's very true.
Right.
It just makes for
awkward.
It is incredibly awkward, and I mentioned this to you yesterday off air. You're getting other teams around the league now, always under anonymity, that nobody's saying who's saying this, but they're all looking at the Bears and scratching their heads and going, I don't know what they're doing over there.
Well, now they know how we've been feeling right. for so many
right.
years.
They're only now thinking
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that thought is now just occurring.
I mean, that
to other
team,
teams.
Awkward is the word.
Yeah.
It's everything's awkward.
Yeah. Yep.
When's the last time you guys have been to the grocery store? Judy, I bet you...
Yesterday. Yeah. Today. I'm sorry, on the way in.
Bill?
Over the weekend.
Have you seen how expensive lettuce has gotten?
No.
You guys, I know this is the big lettuce caper, and I want to discuss it because you could get a head of iceberg lettuce, which I know everyone will tell you has no nutritional value. It's mostly water, but I like to mix it with your other lettuces. It's usually 99 cents a head.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's $2.99 a head.
What?
And you look at it, and I swear to God, I look like Mr. Whiffle squeezing the Charmin going through it, because I go through about 20 heads of lettuce before I can find one that isn't brownish.
Uh-huh.
And then I like to get the romaine hearts that come in a package of three, which are usually $2.99, and that's a little expensive. $6.99.
Where are you shopping?
At the Jewel.
Hmm.
I don't care. I'm going to go to Mariano's on the way home just to see that it's the same thing. There has to be like a lettuce shortage somewhere.
Is that what happened? Yeah.
$6.99.
And yeah, that's way,
oh
way
my God.
High.
So, and I know it's prepackaged. So, you know, it's better to just get the fresh lettuce that they have there. That's like, you know, still probably $2 a pound.
Yeah.
But I start thinking about families who don't have a lot of money to spend on healthy food, and I'm looking at three heads of romaine, three hearts, I guess, of the romaine lettuce for $6.99.
You might want to try Aldi.
You know, about it.
I shop Aldi. I would never. I just was there. It was 99 cents.
I'm very uncomfortable with the whole cart situation.
I know. I'm uncomfortable with the whole. They just open the boxes and put them out. They don't even have shelves, really. It's just, you know, how they do that.
It seems like what a grocery store in Kiev would be
yes.
like, doesn't it?
But same company as Trader Joe's.
Yes.
Right.
And I was like you, Wendy. I swear I walked out of that store the first few times. And then I finally went back just kind of recently, the last few years. I do almost most of my shopping there.
At Aldi.
I go to Jewel. I do supplement with Jewel.
Yeah.
But I mostly go to, because I don't buy meat at Aldi, but I buy everything else. Everything.
What's wrong with the Aldi meat?
It's nothing. I just don't like the way it's packaged. I like to buy bigger. I usually go and get bigger packages and repackage it myself.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people.
When you said you're not happy with the cart situation, what does that refer to?
You have to put money into
a
it's
quarter.
Like
quarter.
I know, but it's
you're
still
renting a cart?
Yes.
You have to rent a cart. And
really?
You get it back at the end.
I know, but it's still a hassle.
Because they're afraid you'll steal the cart?
Well, or you don't leave the cart by your car. You go put it back. Or what I do usually is I just give my cart. If someone's going to get a cart, I just
I'm
going to
shop after
and then
you
I let
every
him,
day.
I let him keep the quarter. So I have to deal with this a quarter.
That's nice
yeah,
of you.
Usually, that's my
I don't
nice
even
thing.
Care about getting the quarter back.
Yeah,
wish we could get a quarter back.
But it's just like I want to just go get a cart. And Trader Joe's, same company as I mentioned, still has an issue because you walk in Trader Joe's and you see the lovely fresh cut tulips that are really a great deal. They're like $3.99 or something. And then you go, oh, crap, I forgot a cart, which is outside.
Yeah.
I hate that, actually.
They have cart issues at that company.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
But once you get into the rhythm of Aldi, it's fine.
There's an Aldi
I'm telling
rhythm?
You, yeah, you gotta get the quarter, get the cart.
Yeah.
Overlook the open boxes. You know, so they don't stock the shelves. It's just they just open the box.
It's not pretty.
Right. I don't care about that, really.
Let me just tell you, like, a bag of potato chips, $1.19. I have
Are they a brand name?
No. Nothing's a brand name. But my kids love those chips because I just started, you know, weaning them on it early. Yeah. And now $1.19, you cannot get a bag of chips for less than
nothing.
Like $4.
You said nothing's a brand
name?
They
have some brand name things, I thought.
It's mostly generic, though.
I don't think so. Huh. I literally just went there on my way to work.
No. You know, it's like.
And I also bought other stuff. I bought some garden gloves and.
Oh.
Yeah, they have specials every week.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a gazebo there a couple weeks ago. I mean, I'm telling
you, really?
I love
How'd you
all
fit
these?
That in the cart?
I brought my son with, and we did fit it in the cart. It was very hard just to get it to the door.
When you're switching dog foods, you're supposed to change it like a half a cup at a time because otherwise they'll have digestive issues. So is that what you did with the potato chips with your kids?
I mixed them with the Frito-Lay, and then after a while they were like, oh, these are, I mean, the thing is, it is a Trader Joe's store. If they're good. Everything there
I'm
is
I'm not saying
good.
It's low quality. I just don't like the cart
and
situation.
And the produce is like so good. I mean, well, it's good. You have to use it pretty quick, but I mean, dirt cheap compared to any other grocery
store. $6.99 for a package of the three hearts of romaine lettuce. That's not even the organic one.
Is it like because summer's coming up and people are eating more salad? Is it like the gas when they change the gas over?
No, there's there's some kind of issue somewhere where there's been. Do they grow it in California with all the rain?
Yeah.
Is that why we're not?
I don't think they've had that much rain. I don't recall hearing that. And I mean, they grow it here too. Lettuce grows everywhere.
But that's too, you know, my daughters have a rabbit, and we've had to give the rabbit lobster because lettuce is too expensive.
In honor of Dave Ennett, I got to mention that kale is still really cheap.
Kale's
he's
a good
the
buy.
Only one who eats it, and my son's tortoises.
I love kale for about a week. And then I'm like, done.
You realize?
Every few months I go back to kale, and I'm like, oh, yeah, no more kale.
Just add a little into your potato chip bag. The kids will never know.
Right.
I'll put a little piece of kale on top of the chip.
They wouldn't notice. No one's going to notice. Well, Wendy, I'm sorry you're going through this. That's difficult.
Well, it's everybody. I can't.
In
I mean,
every major grocery store, there's no.
I'm going to check today, but I mean, I even said to the produce lady at Jewel, I said, okay, it's happened. $7 for a bag of the romaine hearts. And she said, yeah, I just buy the single stuff because that's like $1.99 a pound. You gotta wash it anyway, but there are a lot of bulkier leaves.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Once you peel those off, you don't get a very big head of lettuce.
Yeah, no, the packaged ones are nice. Maybe you need to go to a farm stand store.
Spinach.
You know, one of those.
You could do that. What, Kev?
Get some spinach. What's wrong with that?
Kevin says spinach is your answer.
Spinach is always more expensive.
Is it really?
I like the crunch of a good iceberg and romaine, and I've added leaf lettuce to it also. Radicchio, too bitter.
Yeah.
How about the bib?
I don't spill too often. Sorry,
wow.
Bill. Was that one
that
joke
was
two ways?
That was fast.
One joke two ways? What were you going to say?
That Wendy's usually pretty neat when she eats. But it's to say everybody got to where they needed to go.
You were just being polite.
Ladies first on the jokes. You know how it goes.
Wow, you've made me better. You make me a better man.
Please. Please.
Better funny man.
Remember a couple years ago when limes are usually 8 for a dollar, and all of a sudden
seasonal,
limes were
though.
A dollar each all of a sudden.
But that's seasonal, because if you'll notice in the summer, you can get, if you go to your Tony's Market, a lot of times you can get 12 for a dollar.
Right.
Now they're, you know, we'll go back and they'll fluctuate. You can get like 6 for a dollar, but they're the size
smaller,
of a ping pong ball.
Yeah, those are the key limes, right?
I thought it was because of El Chapo.
I heard that too, because avocados were supposed to go up in price too.
Which, if the wall gets built, you're going to be taking away our avocados. That's not cool.
Yeah.
It won't happen because of that.
So El Chapo's in charge of drugs, limes, and avocados?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Those are three strange things to be in charge of.
He was like taking over trucks or something, like shipments of limes or something.
Oh,
yes.
No.
He was purposely attacking them, or I want to say.
See, drugs are bad, Wendy, but when you start messing with my intake of Limeade,
I
get nuts.
And here's the thing. I think problem solved. How are the drugs getting into our country? Check the lime crates and the avocado crates. Seriously.
Maybe you're onto something.
I'm hoping they do.
Yeah, they should.
I don't know. Get me the lettuce.
I'm now going to check the lettuce story out.
Yeah, you should.
Obviously something
that could be your big story today.
It could be.
Yep.
And I will mention every kind of lettuce. Bib. Is there a butter lettuce?
There is.
Yes.
Yes, there is. What's the one you just said? Radicchio?
Radicchio.
Yeah.
Just frisée.
Yes.
Right. All right, very good. Stop there.
Yeah.
Okay. We know more lettuces there than Judy, and she's feeling threatened.
Judy, could you open the big story with "Let us pray"? Could you do that for me? Just for me, please?
And hot dogs as well have, honest to God, you used to go and you could get Vienna beef at the Jewel or Mariano's. No. $3.99 for an 8-pack. I mean, they're $6.99. You got to wait till they go on sale.
I've noticed the bacon is back up.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something
with the pigs
going on.
Is El Chapo taking our pigs?
Yeah. Mm. El Chapo's in charge of that, too.
Could be.
That guy. That guy.
And remember, milk got to be like $8 a gallon, and that has come down a little bit. I know it all fluctuates, but the whole lettuce thing is driving me nuts.
Because I don't get the lettuce thing. I get the milk, but the lettuce is, unless there was something going on weather-wise, which I don't think there,
right,
there is.
Well, if someone knows, 312-235-2525.
Let us ask the listeners.
Yes, that's the way to say it. All right, since we're talking about food and the bizarreness of the prices, no, I'm not complaining about this one, but I love citrus fruit. I eat grapefruit all day, every day. But those tangerines, the ones that they refer to as cuties, you can get a bag of them, like a 3-pound bag, for $3. How is that so inexpensive when other citrus fruit, your oranges, your strawberries, your blackberries, those are all...
Berries are completely
up
different.
But see, and again, I think it's the season. Cuties, to me, right now, they are cheap, but not
they're
usually.
So cheap.
They're kind of pricey, so I think they're going to go away soon, and then your oranges are going to be cheap, because now it'll be...
All right.
But berries are, you know, we keep hearing in the news how berries have this antioxidant that's so good for mm-hmm. you. And occasionally you'll find, like, the Jewel, maybe to counterbalance the lettuce, they mm-hmm. had 99-cent strawberries. But then you have to go through this plastic container. You have to shake them, look at them, stand on your head, because somewhere in the middle of that package of strawberries is one moldy one, and you don't see it until you open it up.
Sure.
And that's not the Jewel.
You're lucky
that's
if you
everywhere.
Get only one. Yeah. Sometimes there's a bunch of them that you don't see because they're in the middle of the container.
I think they put them in the middle of the container to get rid of the moldy ones
right.
and put lovely ones
right.
around, like decoy berries.
That's what it is.
All right, they don't do that, but...
But is honestly, I will
probably
pick
just
up,
darts there and goes, yeah. No, I know,
I'll pick up like seven
or
of them.
Or they'll just be kind of a rotten one.
They should sell them individually,
Jude.
Oh,
my God.
We should be able to pick which strawberries
please.
We want
so we
individually.
Can't do that, and then we have to bag
do
them.
Do you know
into
how
the...
long I would be there getting 12 strawberries?
I know.
Like 5 days.
And believe me, they wouldn't be 99 cents.
No.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it. I have not one, but two stories about McDonald's, and they couldn't be more different.
All right.
Shall I share them with you?
Shall we take a break, or do we?
We can.
Can you stick around?
Sure.
Yeah.
I love McDonald's.
All right. So two crazy stories about McDonald's. Stick around for that. It's Bill, Wendy, and Judy's sticking around too as an added bonus. No additional cost to you, the listeners. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right. Bill's going to wow us with some McDonald's facts. Although, you are giving the suggestion to people to go through the drive-thru and get a McDouble.
If that's what they want to do, I'm not going to endorse it. I'm not going to suppress it.
All right, I'm going to do it on the way home.
I just had a McDouble a few days ago.
Did you?
It was delicious.
Good tasting and good for you?
I think you just have it once in a while, yeah.
All things in moderation.
I downgraded from a Big Mac, which is what I really wanted.
Why? Yeah. Why did you downgrade?
It was kind of late.
Were you eating in the car? Because it's hard to eat a Big Mac
in the car. No, I was home. My son was going, so I had him like, hey, while you're over there, pick me up a...
Mm-hmm.
But then I didn't. It was too late, and mm-hmm. I thought that Big Mac would sit in my stomach too long.
Get the Little Mac. They have three Macs.
I forgot about that.
Get the Baby Mac.
Darn it.
Or the Big Mac. The triple big... The Giant Mac. I don't know what the big one's called.
Get the Jimmy Mac.
No, he's taken.
It's a Star Wars burger shaped like Darth Vader. Try that.
Can I just tell you, though, I'm talking about lettuce at
the
store.
I want the Fleetwood Mac, please.
And Jim comes home. He did a grocery run, and he comes home with Star Wars Lego Eggo pancakes.
Cool.
No, it
Not
wasn't.
Cool?
They're the same price.
I know, but they're, first of all, go with the waffles, because when you try and freeze a pancake, it doesn't taste the same.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
but
true.
Yeah, I gave him the Death Star and a TIE fighter.
Oh, you guys are in love. All right, a couple of stories about McDonald's, and they, like I said before, they couldn't be more different. Story number one is that McDonald's is trying out a new kind of eating utensil called the Frork. F-R-O-R-K, a fork. Do you want to even guess what that is? What would you be using a fork for?
Well, I know what a spork is. That's a spoon and fork together that KFC originated, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, did they? I didn't know that.
I think so. I could be wrong, but that's where I first saw it. A fork?
Yeah.
No.
It's a fork that you would use to eat your French fries with.
Is it?
Do you use a fork for your French fries? I don't.
No.
No. French fries are made to be eaten with your fingers.
And why can't you just use a regular fork to eat your French
fries?
Yeah,
you could. It says it's an all-too-familiar scenario. A bit of ketchup drips from your hamburger onto your placemat, and you're left with one choice, to use your fingers and a few French fries to sop up the mess. Well, McDonald's is here to change that with their new uselessly useful invention, and it's called, as I said, a fork. Basically, it's a fork, but instead of having metal prongs, it sports three French fries.
Oh, first of all, I thought it was a fork made out of fries, which it wouldn't be sturdy enough.
Well, it kind of
is. That would be
is.
Too bad, because then you could eat it afterwards.
Right.
That'd be perfect.
Destroy the evidence.
Wait, so I'm not, so it's a fork, but there are three French fries attached to it?
It says it's a real product, and it'll be available at participating restaurants on May the 5th. With the purchase of one signature crafted recipe sandwich. That's their high-end menu.
Oh, yeah. Have
their
you seen
artisan
it?
Artisan burgers,
You can pick a burger or a fried chicken patty or a grilled chicken patty, and you can pick, like, pico de gallo.
Yeah.
It's crazy good fun at McDonald's.
Yeah. McDonald's debuted the tool on Monday in tandem with their new signature crafted recipe sandwiches in an informal-style video that showcases the fork's best tricks. Infamous pitchman Anthony Sullivan explains that the little device was designed to scoop up toppings that might fall out of the new sandwiches. Here's what it says. When savoring these recipes, there's a hitch that you just can't ditch. Da-da-da-da-da. The topping dropping. Wow, they didn't stop with this. This is a real problem. Wait, sorry, this is a real problem, but probably not, and it's good news that we solved it anyway. He commented in a minute and a half long clip. Technically, you could pick up some fries and rub them into the condiment.
You can do that with your hands,
done.
Too.
Yeah, you could do it with your hands. But then you're left with condiment-stained fingers. The fork...
Lick them!
Right. Why wouldn't you? Do you have to pay for this?
Well,
is this extra?
That's what my next question
is. I don't know if you guys have seen the new way you have a barbecue brush where it is... like fronds of soft rubber instead of an actual brush.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's what this thing looks like if you take the fronds out. And what you would do is stick three French fries in it, and you're not going to, like, leave that in your glove compartment next time, so you're going to have to buy one every time. This
couldn't
is
you
foolish.
Just keep you would keep the plastic part and take the fries out, wouldn't you?
How are you going to wash it?
Oh, I guess. Yeah. There's that, I guess.
This is the dumbest idea ever.
Wendy, Mayor McCheese could be listening.
I don't care. Plus the name,
him?
It does not roll off your
fork.
Tongue.
Right.
Fork.
How many times are you going to hand someone a fork instead of a fork?
Right.
It says vice versa.
You pinch it, stuff it, and fork it.
No.
They're getting so dirty.
They're getting so dirty, which brings us to our second story, Wendy. Listen to this. This is if I told you there was a strange story... And everyone involved is a little peculiar. What state would you guess that story's from?
Well, you taught me to say Florida.
Bradenton, Florida. Absolutely right.
Bradenton? That's where my family's from.
Yep. It says here.
No, I really believe it.
The home of Judy Pilak's family. It says, Florida authorities have charged a woman with prostitution after she agreed to perform a sex act on an undercover detective in exchange for $25 and some chicken McNuggets.
How many McNuggets?
Better be the 20-pack.
Because there's sweet and sour sauce, too.
Yeah, I'm so with you on that. And please, for anyone getting the McNuggets out there, don't get the 10-piece, because for $1 more, you can get the 20-piece. Share with a friend.
Wendy, a woman is selling her body for these McNuggets.
They're good.
They're darn good.
The Miami Herald reports that 22-year-old Alex Dorino was being held on Sunday without bond at the Manatee County Jail on charges of prostitution, possession of drug paraphernalia, and outstanding warrants. Records show that the incident happened just last week. An undercover detective told the woman that he wanted oral sex, and she agreed to do it for $25. As they briefly went back and forth about the price, she finally agreed to perform the act for the said $25, as long as they would also include an order of chicken McNuggets.
You gotta go fries, too. I'm sorry.
A little protein.
If you're at McDonald's.
A lot of protein.
All right.
I said protein. But dip the fries in the sweet and sour, Wendy.
Right. There's your Happy Meal.
There are so many dirty things that I am editing myself.
You know,
right,
and I'm sitting here thinking, no bail for that.
Right. Right.
How can you go to McDonald's and not get French fries, though? She should.
Yeah, and you have to eat the French fries on top of the chicken nugget. You have to put them on top and then eat it in one bite.
This lady needs a fork. But that'll cost you extra.
All right. That's a good way to end the show.
All right, we're done.
Dirty Billy. Pinky right. left
yeah, that's
with
me.
Us today.
That's me. All right, we must take a break.
No, there is no break.
There's no break?
We're done.
Oh, I was just,
Saranara.
I felt like it was just starting to happen. Didn't you?
We can go one more hour if you want.
No. That would set an ugly precedent.
I was going to say something there and I edited myself.
I was going to make
I don't want to get political.
You were
going to
say we already have an ugly precedent. Oh, Wendy.
You guys are good.
That's crazy talk.
Phil reads my mind.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get him some McNuggets.
That's harassment. Judy, that's harassment. It is so.
A little bit, but I would enjoy it if I were you. You get nuggets.
All right. That's true. That's true. All right.
Make sure you get him a fork with that.
Oh, you guys.
I'm not doing that.
Tomorrow's show should be good. Well, today should have been good, too. Sometimes they slip away from me. What can you do?
You know who's on tomorrow?
Mm-mm.
Joe Mantegna.
Awesome.
The actor, Joe Mantegna?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Is he
good.
Throwing out the first pitch?
I think, yes,
yeah,
he is.
I think he is. Wow. All right. Nice. I'm looking forward to that.
Isn't it fun hanging out with Judy Pyle?
Yes, it is.
The end of the show?
Yes, it is. It always is. All right. So that's it, everybody. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Bill and 20 saying goodnight. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.